Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Who is that man in that trench coat with the flip card?
It's amazing.
And the badge and the ID. Look at that stride. I mean, where's he going? What store has he got? I got to find this out. Give me an ID on this man here. Look at how he accelerates. I mean, he's stride for stride with Saquon. He's going to get the story. That's the media that I know. That's the people that are in. Who is it? Give me an ID on that man.
Friday night.
All right, welcome back. 9:05. Jerry and Kim in for Boomer and Geo. And we are joined now by that voice, that man. Is Brian Baldinger from NFL Network, Compass Media Networks. He's got Carolina New Orleans this weekend. And, of course, Baldy's Breakdowns. It's Brian Baldinger joining Kim and Jerry. Brian, good morning. How are you?
Jerry, Kim, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Holidays to all of you.
Thank you, Baldy. How are you?
I'm good, Kim. I mean, I actually took a day off for Christmas and
good for you.
Enjoyed the family and all that kind of stuff. But I'm right where I'm supposed to be right now. I'm right here in the film room, so I'm doing well. I'm finishing up the season this weekend and heading to London next week to do all the analysis for Sky during the playoffs.
Good.
So it's good. It's a good time.
That's awesome. Good for Sky. That's a good get by them. You'll break it all down perfectly like you always do.
And we have the answer for you, by the way.
Yeah.
That man running down the sideline.
I know, Paul.
There
I know,
you
Paul.
Go.
I didn't know. I mean, at first I didn't know, you know, but then I was like, okay, who would actually be doing that? I mean, there's just one guy that would do that.
Really tremendous. Very funny.
Yeah.
Very funny. Anyway, all your stuff is awesome. We appreciate you coming on for a couple of minutes. So you've got Carolina, New Orleans this weekend, which is fitting because we just got word, I guess 20 minutes ago or so, that Antonio Brown is working out for the Saints. Just your initial thoughts when you hear that.
Wow. Yeah. My initial thought is wow. I thought they just threw it to Mike Thomas and Alvin Kamara. Maybe they'll throw it to somebody else now. You know, the one thing, I mean, I forget about the legal issues and all that kind of stuff out there because I don't know any of the facts. I don't know that any of us do. So, but just a football player, Antonio Brown, the thing that was actually amazing about him this year when he went to New England is literally the second play of the game for when he played for the Patriots for that week. The second play of the game, Tom Brady threw him the ball. The second play, the fourth play, he caught a touchdown pass. I mean, instantly he fit in. And we've always heard that this offense in New England is incredibly complex and difficult to pick up. We've seen a lot of guys that have struggled with it. And literally within 3 days, he looked like he'd been in that offense for a long time. And so, you know, he obviously knows the game, understands the game. And you could tell that the Saints, I mean, they're just all in. Janoris Jenkins, you know, is playing for him right away. And if Antonio Brown gets signed and he becomes part of this team, I mean, I feel like they're going to be even better than what they already are.
Yeah.
Baldy, when you look at, I guess, one more on the Saints, I guess. I think Sean Payton certainly sees a window here. Any concerns about how that would disrupt what seems to be real good culture and chemistry with New Orleans, or does that play to the strength of all of this?
I think, you know, Sean Payton, Mickey Loomis, Drew Brees, I think they know what this locker room is like. And I think Antonio Brown has had enough, you know, enough thrown at him that he's created himself, that he just go in there and behave and play football, you know. And if he really misses it, if he really misses the game, if the game's really important to him, and I think it is, then he'll go in there and he'll do, and he'll be a good citizen, and he'll be a good teammate. And Cam Jordan will throw his arms around him, and Marshawn Lattimore will compete against him every day, and Drew Brees will throw him if he does the right things. And so I think that's what you're going to get. I think you're going to get a good player that wants to be a part of a winning team and will do everything he can to fit in.
Brian Baldinger with us, NFL Network, Compass Media Networks as well. He's doing Panthers Saints this weekend. How about just the makeup of the NFC? When you look at New Orleans at 12-3, you've got Seattle and San Francisco. They're playing this weekend. Green Bay as well. And then, of course, you got the Eagles sitting there at the NFC East. This is about, at least for me, as good a top four. That in Minnesota, by the way, having a darn good season as well, as we get into the playoffs, it's almost like you can put all the teams in a hat, throw up a name, and figure out who's going to end up in the Super Bowl. If there was one team you'd give the advantage to right now going into Week 17, who would it be?
Well, I would give it to San Francisco, Jerry, just on what they have done. I mean, they went to New Orleans and they won a shootout. They crushed Green Bay. I mean, those are both 12-3 teams. You know, I just think right now that that's the team that you got to look at. I think that if they get if they go to Seattle, win Sunday night, they'll have avenged a loss that they lost in overtime on that, 2 months ago. But if they end up 13-3 and they have the number one seed, I think the one thing that they have struggled with a little bit, they just look tired. I mean, they had the first bye of the year in week four. So this will be their 13th straight week of playing. And I just think if you give Nick Bosa and Eric Armstead and Richard Sherman and Fred Warner a week off to prepare and be the number one seed and for it to go through San Francisco, I think they'd be the team to beat right now. But it's not to say that the Saints can't go there and Green Bay the way Aaron Rodgers is taking care of the football or Minnesota. I mean, it's not to say that they can't do it, but that'd be the team for me that would be the team to beat.
When you look at what San Francisco has done this year, Richard Sherman's impact, how would you characterize it for that team? Final piece, locker room stuff, what do you think his impact has been?
Well, he was there last year, and yeah, there wasn't much of an impact. I mean, they had two interceptions the whole year, and none of them by cornerback. Now, they've sort of turned that around this year. But I just think the leadership that he brings, the competitive fire is still there. I mean, he still tackles well. When he does get dinged up, it's usually from tackling, although he's battling a little bit of a hamstring issue right now. But I just think the overall leadership, he's got a young secondary. They lost the other corner for a long time, Akilah Witherspoon this year. But Emmanuel Mosley stepped in, and, you know, and he looked like Deion Sanders some weeks. He was really good. And Jimmy Ward has been really good. But I just think, you know, he knows how to lead a secondary, help lead a defense, and I think he brings that, probably that competitive fire every day at practice.
Brian Baldinger with us, NFL Network, Compass Media Networks as well. Just getting away from the playoff stuff, from afar, the Rams last year were so good this year. What has been the problem with LA this season?
I would say it started with the loss of two offensive linemen that's played every snap last year. You know, when you look at what Roger Saffold brought at left guard, what John Selvin brought at center, I just think those were going to be two difficult guys to replace. And so I think their problem started in the middle, right there in the offensive line. And I think, you know, being in New York, you know what happens when your offensive line isn't great and isn't solid, especially in the middle, what can happen to a football team? It collapses. And I think that's a big part of what happened. And then both those players were injured. So Aaron Cromer is a great offensive line coach, but I think, you know, they really struggled at that position this year.
Baldy, I guess sticking with the playoff idea just for a moment, we'll get to the local teams, I'm sure. With the Ravens, one thing I know that Baltimore organization is proud of is that they've been willing and committed to build around Lamar Jackson. And they believe that is why, first of all, they're great and he's great, but that is why the whole thing is working. They didn't go half in. They didn't ask him to change this or that. They decided with this young quarterback who is incredibly talented, as we all know, that they were going to be all in, and the pieces around him seem to fit just about perfectly. Do you view them as the favorite?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they've answered, you know, all the calls. I mean, yep, whether, you know, it was New England or San Francisco, I mean, they've taken all comers on. They've won 11 in a row. And when you say all in, Kim, I mean, it's more than just the players. I mean, Greg Roman is the offensive
coordinator. Oh, sure, yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, Marty Morningway was the offensive coordinator a year ago. I mean, they made a change there. You know, and they're completely committed. You know, they drafted Trace McSorley. I mean, they've got Robert Griffin III there. If anything happens to Lamar, if he doesn't play this week, if he sits out this week, you'll see Robert Griffin, you'll see Trace McSorley. I mean, they're all dual threat quarterbacks. I mean, they're all in on the whole style, yep, of what they want. You know, I mean, to go out and get, you know, Marquise Brown this year and Miles Boykin, two pieces at wide receiver, to build around three tight ends and a fullback, two of them in the Pro Bowl this year, and Patrick Ricard and, you know, Mark in the tight end, Mark Andrews. I mean, it's really something to see how they have done it and how well it has worked out. And they are the favorites for me throughout right now. I mean, they just exude confidence at every single step in that organization right now.
And I would not dismiss the Patriots at all, but could you imagine a Chief-Raven championship game? I mean, how just electric that game would be.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, Marcus Peters, you know, was the missing piece to that defense in Baltimore when they picked him up midseason, and he has fit in perfectly. You know, obviously he was in Kansas City a year ago and things didn't work out, you know, and they unloaded him. But, you know, and then they unloaded him to the Rams, and now here he is, you know, with the Ravens. So, I mean, he was a guy that was drafted by Kansas. I used to call him the Kansas City thief. Nobody picks off passes the way Marcus Peters does and takes them to the house. I mean, he's just a really, really smart player. But they've got literally as good a secondary as there is in the postseason as there is in football. And the Patriots, you know, you could say that they do, but the Baltimore Ravens secondary with Marlon Humphrey, Marcus Peters right now, Jimmy Smith, Earl Thomas. I mean, it's lockdown right now.
Here's something that you know, is amazing to me about the Ravens. They lose C.J. Mosley, hasn't played for the Jets, but he's obviously a Jet, and they, you know, certainly expect and hope healthy next season. And a great player in C.J. Mosley. And Za'Darius Smith, who's one of my favorite players in the league, goes and along with Preston Smith, makes, of course, an incredible impact for Green Bay. They lose those two players, Baldy, and we're still talking about maybe a slightly different defense, but a great defense in Baltimore.
Well, they drafted Matt Judon, you know, and Matt Judon's a Pro Bowl player. I mean, it comes back to the draft, Kim, right?
Yep.
So they let Za'Darius walk. Mm-hmm. They didn't want to lose him. They had developed him for 4 years. But they knew Matt Judon was going to, you know, be an every down player and really a chess piece for Don Wink Martindale, the defensive coordinator. They, you know, and then they've always struck gold in free agency. So, you know, Patrick Owosu is their starting middle linebacker. And really, when you watch him play, you watch L.J. Fort, they picked him up for the Philadelphia Eagles in preseason. I mean, you watch those guys play, it's not like you miss C.J. Mosley all that much. And I'm not downgrading what C.J. Mosley can do. But, you know, all of a sudden, you just have the next guy up that has been developed, and they know they can play and play at a high level. And that's what they did. And so it comes back to, you know, the draft. It comes back to, you know, developing players. And they're really, you know, the blueprint for how to do that in this league.
Brian Baldinger with us, NFL Network, Compass Media Networks. You got New Orleans, Carolina Sunday, at Baldy NFL on Twitter, Baldy's Breakdowns, and Sky Sports, I guess, in the playoffs as well. From afar, we obviously talk a lot about the Giants and Jets here. From afar, what do you make of the Giants situation, the head coaching situation, and the season that's just been a mess?
Well, it's been a mess, Jerry. You know, I mean, when you lose nine in a row like they did, you know, the turnovers, you know, at the quarterback position have been a problem. But, you know, we all like what Daniel Jones has brought. I guess the most disappointing thing is really the offensive line play and how Saquon, outside of last week, has really just gone backwards. And there's nobody in this business that isn't going to say that Saquon Barkley is as talented as anybody in this league. He is. But to see the performance of him this year behind an offensive line, by all standards, should have been improved. But yet it really hasn't been improved. And I guess that's the most disappointing thing. If you're going to say, all right, let's go with the rookie quarterback, which is fine. You draft him that high, let's get him on the field, let's play him. And then you see the play of the offensive line and Saquon, you go, that's what nobody saw. You can say, okay, you're starting all rookies in the secondary. You know, you've got, you know, youth everywhere. You let a lot of good, you know, veteran players walk. You know, I just think you go, okay, you got to go back to the offense. They should be better than they are right now. And that's the head scratcher right now, is how they have performed up front throughout this season.
And they have the Eagles this weekend. Yeah. Obviously, you know enough about the Eagles. Do you think Philadelphia does it this week? Or they've been a weird team all season long. The Cowboys have been a weird team all season long. And the Giants have won a couple of games. You think the Eagles take care of business Sunday?
Well, I don't I don't know. I mean, the Giants gave him problems, you know, 3 weeks ago. They had to go into overtime to win the game. I don't know why they didn't cover, you know, Zach Ertz in the end zone, you know, to win the game, but they didn't cover Zach Ertz. That'd be a good starting point, cover the tight end. But, I mean, you look, if you walk, you know, we all watched the way Daniel Jones threw the ball last week. Now, the Redskins, they didn't cover wide receivers or tight ends either. And it made it a little bit easier. But they protected Daniel Jones pretty well last week. And, you know, Darius Slayton ran by the Eagles in the first game. I think he's going to run by him again. So do they hook up with him? You know, I would say that Golden Tate, you know, doesn't really like the way things ended in Philadelphia after they traded for him. So I'm sure he's probably pretty hungry to show the Eagles that they made a mistake. So they can really ruin a lot of things for the Eagles in the NFC East this weekend in New York. And I'm sure that you're going to get the very best of Saquon and, you know, the whole group this week. So I think they're going to make it difficult for the Eagles. I don't think their secondary is very good, and they haven't been very good. And can they exploit it this week?
And last week, well, I tell you, they played a good game against the Cowboys last week. They took it to them defensively. You know, yep. And I didn't know that they were capable of it. And, you know, you're watching everything going into the game, all the injuries, and, you know, this team isn't that good. And that was about as good a game plan I thought Doug Peterson had probably all season long.
Well, they game planned to shut down Ezekiel Elliott. So they loaded the box. Malcolm Jenkins played linebacker in the game. On you know, especially in first down. So when the Cowboys threw it on first down, I mean, you know, they missed a lot of Tavon Austin on a streak. They missed Michael Gallup. They dropped passes. They missed third down conversions. I mean, they just didn't play well. I mean, it's not. It wasn't just the quarterback. The receivers dropped passes. The offensive line, they've got three Pro Bowlers up there. I mean, I saw Fletcher Cox, you know, go through them like they were a bad offensive line at times. So the Cowboys had their chances, but like a lot of games, they just don't execute very well. But, you know, look, that was their game plan. Take Ezekiel Elliott out, and he ran 13 times for 47 yards. They did their job. And then, you know, the Cowboys couldn't exploit a bad secondary, and they didn't.
Last thing for me, and this is selfish, but I'm going to ask you anyway. What do you do with Dak Prescott? Do you pay him?
Well, unless you have another plan, you better figure out a way to pay him. You know, I mean, you could franchise tag him for a year and see if they get him to the postseason. I like Dak personally. Everybody does. I think he's a natural leader. I don't know how bad his shoulder was hurt, you know, that on Sunday. I'm sure it was bothering him. It's an AC joint. I'm sure they shot it up, and, you know, I'm sure it wasn't feeling real good. But you couldn't really tell that he couldn't throw the ball. Everybody watched him in pregame, and it looked like it was pretty good. But that being said, unless you have a better plan, Jerry, either franchise tag him, pay him, or if you think there's somebody in this draft that you can get that you think is the guy, then go get him. But otherwise, you're sort of locked into saying, all right, you write a check for $130 million and let's go.
Baldy, you're so good. I love the Baldy breakdowns. And I feel like, selfishly, I feel like I was kind of there toward the beginning of them all. Maybe
you
not
were,
the
yeah.
beginning, but I felt like I recognized the greatness of them early on. I'll leave you with this question. What is your favorite breakdown that you do? Is it O-line play? Do you gravitate to that? Is it something else? Is it a specific team? You know, what do you like the best?
You know what I like, Kim? I like good football. So I love watching Lamar Jackson play.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just the most exciting player in the league. I said from midseason on when he went to Seattle and beat the Seahawks that he's the best player in the league. Every week he's the best player on the field. He was last week against Cleveland. I love watching him play. And I can't help but pull for the guy just because of what was said about him, that he couldn't be a quarterback, that, you know, change positions, he can't do this at the NFL level, and he's proving all the analysts have said he couldn't do it wrong. And there's something just really pure and good about that, I think. But I love watching Quentin Nelson play. I love watching Marshall Yanda play. I mean, it's good football. It's technique. They're sound. They're fundamentally sound. They play the game the right way. They play it hard. They could play in any era. I love that. But I have really enjoyed watching Lamar just flourish week in and week out this year and watching all the things that teams are trying to do to stop him, and nobody can stop him.
Yeah, he's so fun. He's a video game.
Yeah.
You know, on a field of humans.
We're in the entertainment industry, Kim, so I'm all for the entertainment value of what a guy like that can do.
Totally agree. Baldy, you're great.
You can find him at Baldy NFL on Twitter for Baldy's breakdowns, NFL Network, Compass Media Networks. He's got New Orleans, Carolina on Sunday. Brian, thanks for a couple minutes.
Thanks, Baldy.
Jerry, Kim, Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year.
Yep,
you as well. Brian Baldinger.
So great.
Yeah, tremendous. I mean, around the league, like,
yeah,
easy.
And I like that you went there. I didn't know if we were going to go local. You know what I mean? But I think it ended up being really, it's always interesting with Baldy. But those breakdowns are just like, I just love them.
You learn.
You do learn something. You actually do learn something. And I like where he went with the last thing about Lamar.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson really is. I mean, he's just remarkable. And the impact he has made so quickly with a coaching staff that believes in him, an organization that believes in him, a really smart organization.
Give him a lot of credit they adjusted to him.
Yep. And I love that about them. And they're proud of that. And they should be.
And right. And the relationship between him and his coach is outstanding.
It's clearly very, very close. And that's a very good thing.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.